First, summer is approaching quickly, and that means a lot of us are starting to think about whether or not we'll travel. For many people in the state, summer vacation often includes a trip to northern Wisconsin. But there are concerns about an influx of tourists and what it might mean for those smaller rural communities that might have fewer hospital resources. Ryan Weichelt is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire. He recently wrote an essay for WisContext titled "The Hazard of COVID-19 Heading Up North for the Summer." Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, so far, what do we know about how the coronavirus outbreak has been playing out in the northern parts of the state?
Yeah, for what data that I've been able to sort of watch, again, I'm not going to claim to be an extreme medical expert here, but it seems that COVID has been somewhat limited in the northern areas of Wisconsin, and specifically in some of the rural areas. So I guess compared to southern Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin has certainly weathered this much better.
And as you wrote in your piece, and we've talked about on the show early on, looking back, I think, to March, some counties that depend on tourism a lot for their economies said at that point, please don't come. Stay home for now. Don't spread the disease here. Can you talk a little bit about history of them, the concern that we might spread the disease from southern to northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly couldn't have been an easy thing for any of these county executives or tourist boards to say, please don't come up here. You know, they depend a lot of their revenues associated with the tourists coming up, and specifically with Memorial Day has now passed, making sure that these persons come up. But, you know, also I think realizing the gravity of the situation that if an outbreak were to occur in any parts of northern Wisconsin, a large outbreak, you know, is there enough medical facilities to support that? And in the immediate area, there just aren't a whole lot of medical facilities available for a large outbreak in that particular case.
Well, I wanted to dig into the heart of the piece you co-wrote that's up at wiscontext.org. You tried to figure out who owns second homes in what we think of as northern Wisconsin and where they might be coming from. How did you start to try to figure out what sounds to me like a complicated thing to figure out?
Yeah, we kind of stumbled across this, treasure trove of data that was coming from the Wisconsin State Cartographer's Office, where they were able to link together as much as they possibly had all the different counties and the parcel data associated with that. So the parcel is the individual land that any of us might own property would be considered the parcel owner. That information had some pretty amazing data, and besides the value of the property, how big the property was, it had the tax address. So where the tax bill that was sent out when the counties are looking for their taxes in December, we came to the conclusion of, hey, I think we can kind of figure out this crazy question of who actually owns the Northwoods of Wisconsin by simply looking at where these tax addresses were coming from.
What did we find out?
Yeah, so, you know, if anyone, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and there's always this sort of mindset that Illinois owns all northern Wisconsin. Specifically, if you've been in the Minocqua area or the Eagle River area. But to our surprise, there was obviously, as geographers, we were excited to see these spatial patterns. We were surprised how much property was actually owned by people in you know, south of the area in the state of Wisconsin. As a whole, about 36% of the parcels in northern Wisconsin are owned from out-of-state persons, as well as people outside our study area. And within Wisconsin, that's about 19% of those persons, many of them coming from the Milwaukee and Madison area.
And that means a chunk of them are owned by people, I suppose, who live in northern Wisconsin itself?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big chunk of those persons that actually live in our study area. About 58% of those properties are owned by that. But even if you look at where the properties are located, most of the property along the most expensive places, especially on the lake shores, they're owned by the people from outside the area.
And what do we know about where those out-of-state people are? Do we see clusters of owners owning land in particular parts of northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, certainly. It's interesting if anyone can kind of put their Wisconsin county map in their head right now. You kind of draw a line that goes right through the center of the state, kind of going through Taylor County. The places, the counties east of Taylor County tend to be more persons from that Milwaukee, Madison area, Illinois, tend to kind of dominate the parcel ownerships of that particular place. If you move westward from Taylor County towards Minnesota, things change pretty quickly. The biggest landowners tend to be, besides the people living there, those persons from Minnesota.
We're talking about a new WisConText report about tourism in northern Wisconsin amid the coronavirus pandemic, and looking at who owns what and where and what it can mean for who's traveling to different places. Ryan Weichelt is with us, Associate Professor of Geography at UW-Eau Claire. Now, again, you're not on the medical side of things, but the concern is a lot of the places you just described have higher incidences of COVID-19 or have had than the counties that people might be traveling to visit that second home.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you just saw the numbers that came up this afternoon, they did, you know, we had the highest increase that the state has seen so far. And the vast majority of that, they said, was coming out of the southeastern part of Wisconsin, where many of these homeowners, second homeowners, might be vacationing from.
And what do we know about what's happening now? Do we know if travel is kind of getting back into gear like it might have been before these shutdowns?
I didn't actually go up there over this past weekend, but it seems indications are that people have been traveling up there, and they're traveling before Memorial Day weekend. My colleague, Dr. Ezra Zeitler, was teaching a tourism class this semester, and he actually had a student that owns property, their parents own property up in the Tomahawk area. And she, for her paper, was actually kind of looking at who was owning the parcels and certainly noticed that a couple weeks ago that there was a lot more people kind of inhabiting their second homes than maybe you would expect. So people have been kind of moving into the area, coming back and forth. I don't know what the magnitude is. I'm doubtful it's as high as it normally is, but needless to say, things seem to be turning back to normal. I just saw a story that they might be having the Hodag this summer in July in Rhinelander area. So you can see there's some semblance of normalcy trying to return to the area.
In your piece, you also talk a little bit about the history of northern Wisconsin and how it developed into a tourist area and then saw these patterns where a lot of people from outside the area own these choice properties. Can you share a little of that?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to, you know, after the land was sort of colonized by white persons taking the land from many of the Native American areas. But needless to say, when those areas began transitioning, it started as a logging area. And then with the logging area came the rail lines, and the rail lines brought people into these areas. And as after World War II, with the affluency that was happening in many places with the automobile and the highways, you see these people had more money, were sort of traveling up there. And so if we think about people in the 50s and 60s that were sort of experienced going up to the Northwoods, you know, going to the lakes, enjoying the winter activities associated with that, I think when you get to the 70s and 80s, they started buying property. They wanted to maybe sort of relive some of that childhood that they had, and they wanted to give that to their kids. And so you kind of see, you know, one of the jokes that Ezra and I sort of make with this is that every parcel has an interesting story to tell, and I wish we had time to ask all 700,000 owners what those stories were. But it would be, I think many of those that we have talked to talk about that connection that they had as children and experiencing that stuff in the Northwoods.
You also look at kind of haves and have-nots, the parts of that of the northern Wisconsin region that have the really choice lakeside property and get that influx of tourist money and tax money versus those that don't. And how does that affect local spending in schools?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think that was one of the biggest parts. We have a piece that hopefully will be published in the next year or so, kind of analyzing and looking at the impact on school districts. You know, one of the school districts we looked was the Northland Pine School District, which is around the Eagle River area. The amount of money that gets brought in from those second home owners is pretty impressive. And, you know, the school district itself is only about 1,300 students, but they're in the top 40 for the amount of tax revenue that gets brought in because of the properties associated with that. And, you know, if we can also look at in the Minocqua area as well, where the prices of property along the main lakes, there's some places if you go up there, $4, $5, $6 million homes, that's a lot of tax money coming in. So, you know, going back to the question you asked earlier, the difficulties of locals saying stay away, you know, you got to kind of do this balancing act to not drive away second home owners into the area while enticing them to come in because of the benefits for schools, for one thing, and their spending associated with that. Extremely important.
That's okay. You mentioned this treasure trove of data, and we're talking who owns property in northern Wisconsin. I know rental houses and cabins and whatnot are a big part of the story. Is there, do you think, a magical treasure trove of easily accessible data that could give you comparable information there?
I guess, there's just so much data associated with all these different things to make these larger connections. It would take Ezra and I 30, 40 years, I think, to dig through a lot of this stuff. But I know the rental aspect is certainly another fascinating part that is part of that story to tell of the Northern Wisconsin experience.
But even without that, bring it back home to COVID-19. What can this kind of data tell us about what we know about, the travel flow of us humans from one place to another and what it might mean for the spread of a disease?
Well, I think it's very important to understand where your persons are coming from. If we know that there's a certain outbreak happening in a particular spot, we could turn to this type of data to sort of look at where are many of these people coming from to kind of start thinking about contact tracing and those particular things. I think it's, as a geographer, we're very fascinated at looking at these spatial patterns, and having some of that information just provides additional evidence and support for locals to try to kind of deal with what's going on.
Ryan, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's Ryan Weichelt, Associate Professor of Geography at UW-Eau Claire. He was with us to talk about an essay he co-wrote for WIS Context, looking at some of the risks of summer tourism and coronavirus in northern Wisconsin, and breaking down, as we were hearing, who owns what kind of property and where do they come from and where would they be traveling from. You can find the piece online with a lot of maps at wiscontext.org. And if you have a story to share, if you are one of the people with the story behind that property, that second property, whether you are from that region or you travel there regularly in the summer, we'd love to hear your story. If you usually travel up north, are you maybe changing your plans, holding off, or going full bore? If you live in an area that relies on tourism anywhere in the state, what are your hopes? What are your fears? You can reach us in a couple of ways to share your story. You can email ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us @CentralTimeWPR. Let us know your story about tourism here in Wisconsin.